This is another edition of The More Abundant Life. The More Abundant Life is a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wendley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr., and as your host for today's broadcast, I want to invite you and I urge you to stay tuned. The title of today's message is What's in Your House? This is program number 201 in our series. That title does not sound like a very spiritual title, but let's see what Pastor Phipps has to say in relation to the title, What's in Your House, to the spiritual realm. Stay tuned for our message today. The message will begin after a very special song by Wendley Phipps.
God sent his only son to earth. He was the man from Galilee. Came into this world to show us love. He came to set his people free. Hallelujah, praise his holy name. Hallelujah, he is the King of Kings. Hallelujah, praise his holy name. All praises to the King. He gave his life for us and then went away. But he's coming back real soon. Don't know when he's coming, could be. Could be morning, night, or noon. Hallelujah, praise his holy name. Hallelujah, he is the King of Kings. Hallelujah, praise his holy name. All praises to the King.
Hallelujah to the King. Hallelujah to the King.
Philippians 4, verse 19. This is a Thanksgiving promise for you to take home today. The Bible says, but my God, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And then I want you to turn over to the book of 2 Kings, the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. And verse 2 says, and Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house? And she said, your handmaid has not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow you vessels abroad of all your neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when you are come in, you shall shut the door upon you and upon your sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and you shall set aside that which is full. And she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said to her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and live you and your children of the rest. You know, it has been my privilege to travel to many incredible places in this world. And I say to you unequivocally that the countries of India and China are two of the most amazing places on planet Earth. The variety of culture and languages is truly astounding. But even more amazing to me is how the earth every day yields food enough in these countries to feed more than 2 billion people every day. Now, there are some places in our world today where every day is Thanksgiving. Amen. I am dumbfounded how every day, from the bounties of nature's storehouse, God feeds billions of people. I don't know how, but every day that leaves me speechless. But I don't have to go to the far ends of the earth to find evidence of God's miracles of daily provision, because every day from his own hand of grace and blessing, God feeds me. God feeds my family. And the fresh sentiment of my tender heart this morning is, Lord, why are you so good to me? I do not deserve such care. But this Thanksgiving Sabbath, Lord, I hasten to your throne to declare my boundless gratitude. This morning we have come to the throne of God to both rehearse and remember what God has done for us. We should take every advantage of every opportunity to rehearse what God has done and how he opened the door of faith to us. The very fact that we're even here on Sabbath, the very fact that you are a Sabbath keeper, you ought to be grateful to God this morning. The Bible tells us that one day a poor widow whose husband had attended the school of the prophets came to Elijah with tears and agony. She told him with desperation that her husband had died. As a result, she had become bankrupt. Her creditors and bill collectors were on their way to take her only sons and force them as slaves to pay off their father's debt. This was allowable by law back then. My husband, she said to the prophet, has died suddenly. He was a loving man, a kind and faithful provider, but he died leaving me with two sons to raise and no source of income. Prophet of God, you know how much he loved the Lord, but prophet of God, life has been hard for us. We had very little to live off of and found ourselves always in debt. And when he died, he left a mountain of debt that I'm unable to pay. And now that he's gone, his creditors have come to take away our sons. They plan to sell them. Somehow this woman knew by faith that her only hope lay with the prophet Elisha. She knew she had to act quickly, for she was about to lose her two sons, and they were about to lose their futures. The scriptures implies that after laying out her predicament, she made no specific request of Elisha. Right. Instead, she waited for a response from the prophet. Mm-hmm. She made no specific appeal for a specific amount of money. If you knew that you needed a certain amount to pay off a debt and you were standing before the prophet of God, you wouldn't just say, "This is my situation." You would want to say, "And this is what I need." Instead, she applied for the support and understanding of Elisha. She knew Elisha was a man of God, and perhaps she hoped that Elisha would intervene with God on her behalf. Elisha considered her problem prayerfully, and then Elisha said, "Dear woman, what would you like for me to do?" Dear woman, what can I do for you? It must be obvious to you that I own no houses, no lands. I have no property or holdings. I, I'm sure you can look at me and understand that I can't write a check. I have no immediate way of bringing you aid and support. The woman stood there silent as if to say, Elisha, you may be poor, but you're a prophet. Amen. You may be penniless, but you know the Lord. And I believe the Lord has an answer for me. So much eloquence was wrapped up in that widow's silence as she stood there. Finally, Elisha said, all right, dear widow, tell me, what do you have in your house that you can sell? In today's business vernacular, Elisha was asking the woman, now tell me, what do you have in your house that is marketable, saleable? What do you have in your house that other people would want to buy? Now, I don't know about you, but that response by Elisha seems more appropriate for a man who just completed his MBA. It just doesn't sound like the response of a prophet. It sounds more like the response of a marketing executive. The woman said, sir, I've got a great debt to pay. I know that you know the Lord. Can you petition the Lord for me? Her question was, what word do you have from the Lord for me? His response was, look at what you have that you can sell. Look at what you have that can fill a need. Look at what you have that can secure market share. Are you listening to me this morning? She was saying, Elisha, surely God has one more blessing, one more miracle waiting for me. Elijah was inquiring about her potential for a crass capitalist initiative. Trust me, church, when you're desperate and your house is being foreclosed on, if you've ever been there, and your family chariot is being repossessed, the last thing you want to hear is anybody tell you, let's go start a business. The last thing you want to hear is somebody saying to you, what has God given you that is marketable? Brother, you don't understand. I'm in foreclosure. I don't have time to figure out market analysis and return on investment. I don't even have time to find investors. I don't have time to raise capital. I got a deadline to meet. That woman could have said, Elisha, here I am broke, and you're asking me what I have to sell? If I had something to sell, I wouldn't be broke. Elisha said it again, woman, let's talk about your assets. Let's talk about what's in your house. What do you have in your house that you would be able to start a business enterprise with? She bowed her head and said, nothing, sir, except a little olive oil. A little olive oil. Sir, I've exhausted every option. I've run out of ideas. All I have is a little leftover oil in an almost empty jar. The young widow said to Elisha, I have nothing in my house that others would want to buy except a little olive oil. All right, said Elisha, go to your neighbors, borrow all the jars you can, ask for as many as they let you have, and then I want you to take them home, close the door, have your sons help you pour the olive oil from your one jar into the other jars, the other empty jars, until all the jars are full. Now, you would have thought that this woman, like a most wise matriarch, would have inquired regarding the wisdom of such an act of presumption. You see, pouring from one jar oil that's supposed to fill up many jars was not tried by people who were in possession of their faculties. But she didn't hesitate. She did what Elisha said. She borrowed all the jars she could, went home, closed the door, then with her sons handing her the empty jars, have mercy, Jesus, you'd only want to do that behind closed doors. She began pouring oil. And after a few moments, you could hear a voice behind that closed door, a voice clear and strong, saying, bring another jar. Bring another jar. And soon one of her sons said, mother, there are no more jars. And church, when there were no more jars, the oil in the widow's jar that she was pouring stopped flowing when there were no more jars. She went and told Elijah that all the jars she had borrowed were full. He said to her, now go and sell the oil and pay off your debts. And you'll have money left over for you and your sons to live on. Oh, this Thanksgiving Day, God has provided for some of us in the very same way. When we were at our point of need, God asked us the same question he prompted the prophet to ask that widow. What's in your house of value to others? God says you got to focus this morning. I'm preaching one of the most important messages you may ever hear. What's in your house? What's your badge of distinctive competence? What do you do that others can't do as well? In which arena do your gifts lie? What are your valuable resources? What belongs to you that would have been of compelling value to others? Lord, all I have is a little gift, a little jar. Have mercy, with some leftover oil. Lord, I can sow a little bit. Lord, I can sing a little bit. Lord, I can count. I can handle money. Lord, I can organize. Lord, I can strategize. Lord, I can visualize. Lord, I can implement. Lord, I can follow through. Not everybody can follow through. Some people are visionaries. Some people are leaders. Some people are managers. The worst thing you want to do is take a manager and make him a visionary. The worst thing you want to do is take a visionary and try to make him a manager. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. You've got a gift. Lord, I can help people to work together. Not everybody can help people work together. Some people need to stay out, work by themselves. Lord, all I've got is a little gift in a little jar. I don't have a PhD. I don't have an MD. I got debt. I need help. But what I have, God, I can try to fill up some empty jars with it if you help me. Friend, don't let anybody put down your little gift that's in your little jar. With God, it's not about the size of the gift. It's about the size of the opportunity. He'll take your pint-sized gift and fill up a gallon-sized opportunity. Oh, are you listening to me this morning? It's not about the size of your gift. It's about the size of the jars. So organize yourself. And remember, with God, you are limited not by the size of your product, but by the size of your dream. The limits of your vision. If you only bring one jar of vision, God will fill up that one jar of vision. Woo, are you hearing me today? But if you have the audacity to bring many jars, God will fill up every one of them. If you will only make available to God the gift in your house, God will bless it and multiply it and use it. Church, this lady only had a little oil. And during her day, oil was a valuable commodity. Her problem was she thought she didn't have enough to go into business. She didn't have enough to trade on the stock market. Start small, man. Start where you are. Amen. She thought she didn't have enough to build an oil empire. She didn't even have enough to clear her debt, so she thought. But when Elijah said to her, borrow as many pots as you can, go home, shut the door, and start pouring, that widow went home and started pouring, and she kept pouring and pouring, and only when there were no more vessels did the oil stop. She ran to the prophet saying, all the jars are full. Elisha said to her, now that you've done the manufacturing, you got to do some marketing. How are you with me today? If you can't get shelf space, use the internet. Advertise your gift. If you have to sell it out of your house, sell it out of your house. Stop, help me, Jesus. Stop moaning and being pitiful about what you don't have. Look at what's in your own house. And then if you got to, sell it out of your house. You're blessed if the roof over your head is the extent of your overhead. All right. You didn't hear what I just said. You're blessed if the roof over your head is the extent of your overhead. That just means more profit.
That's right.
Same thing. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Elisha said to her, go and sell the oil, pay off your debts, you'll have money left over. And that's what she did. This widow found the answer to her need was right in her own house. She found that God had placed the instrument of her blessing right in her own house, and she didn't know it. Her pot of oil, which she thought was of little value, was really God's gift to her. That little oil was God's gift. Amen. I came by this morning to celebrate this Thanksgiving truth. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I came by to tell you this morning that the answer for lifting your burden of debt may be right in your own house. How long has it been since you counted the gifts in your house? Now, there are some people who are content to work for others the rest of their lives. If you're one of those, praise God for you. But there are some of us, we don't want to work for other people the rest of our lives. And if you want to, God will show you your little gift in that little jar somewhere. And he'll show it to you because he wants to bless it and use it to bless you. But he can't bless it and use it if you don't borrow some empty jars and start pouring. This widow found out that when you surrender your gifts to God, the possibilities are limitless. If you will allow God to use what you have, the sky's the limit. Although this widow had the source of her blessing right there in her own house, she still had to prepare for the miracle God was about to do. God won't give you a miracle if you don't prepare for the miracle. Amen. Amen. You pray for rain, you better buy an umbrella. Amen. He's not going to let you pour your oil out on the ground and waste it. All right. He's not going to be a party to you squandering and wasting your gift. All right. So get some empty vessels. No matter how confident you are that God will bless you with your miracle, God won't give you a miracle if you don't prepare for it. Most of us, when we pray for God to bless us, we don't realize that usually we don't have the room to receive the blessing. Physically, emotionally, we're often not prepared to handle what we're praying for. I remember a lady, I heard her saying, Lord, she saw this young man. Lord, give me this young man. And when she got him, she started praying, Lord, take him away. Sometimes we can't handle what we're praying for. Often we're not prepared to receive what we're praying for or to receive the blessings God has in store for us. That's why God says, Psalms 81:10, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Come on, look it up yourself. Psalm 81:10. You have your Bibles. Turn with me. What book did I say? Psalm 81, verse 10. God in his holy word says there, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and what? I will fill it. That's why David said in Psalm 23:6, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Most of us, we can't even begin to imagine the blessings God has in store for us. God tells us in Malachi 3:10, prove me. If I will not what? Open you the windows of heaven and what? Pour you out a blessing that there shall not be what? Room enough to what? Receive it. For that woman that day, the borrowing of empty vessels was an exercise of faith. And in God's eyes, her blessing, listen, was going to be determined by the number of empty vessels she borrowed. Are you with me? Her blessing was limited by her vision. Elisha knew she was about to be really blessed. That's why Elisha said, now, I'm just going to encourage you, borrow not a few vessels. That's old English saying, you better borrow a whole lot of vessels. Amen. That woman had to be willing to be laughed at by some of her skeptical neighbors. You're doing what? Borrow not a few vessels. In other words, borrow as many vessels as you can. expect your blessing, anticipate your miracle, and then get as many vessels as you can. Church and business, faith can mean the difference between success and failure. Now notice, the oil didn't start flowing when Elisha told her what to do. Remember, Elisha told her what to do. The oils didn't start flowing. The oil didn't start flowing when the vessels were gathered. The oil didn't start flowing when she shut the door and started to pray. Some people think all you got to do is pray. No, the oil started flowing when she started pouring. The oil multiplied. Are you with me today? The oil multiplied as she was pouring. The oil started flowing when she acted upon her faith in God. She saw the mighty blessings of God only when she started pouring. And the only thing that slowed down her blessing was that she ran out of vessels. Somewhere I read, thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring. Too often we back up a pickup to God's loading dock when the blessing with our name on it says you should have brought an 18-wheeler. But you backed up a pickup to God's loading dock. Notice all this dear woman wanted was, she just wanted to pay off her debt. Amen. That's what she asked for. She just wanted to help save her sons. But God had an 18-wheeler of blessings waiting for her. God was setting her up with a retirement package. Amen. The best 401k she could ever find. That day, God was about to give her more than what she had asked for. He was going to give her enough to live on for the rest of her life. Amen. Somewhere I read, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. I came by this morning to tell you, be thankful for your little gift, no matter how little it is. There is no telling what God can do with your little gift. Look at what he did with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Look at what he did with that rod in Moses' hand. Look at what he did with little David's slingshot. This morning, I want you to be thankful for the gift in your house.
That brings us to the end of our program for today. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, an audio copy, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. You will want to ask today for program number 201. That's program number 201. The phone number again is 301-577-6342. Until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. As always, I wish you God's richest blessings for the week. Please join us again for another program, but until you can, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your